For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. This week, we celebrate the very best of Non-League 2. First up, after a year out of the dugout, one of Non-League's finest managers is back. Ironically, in the very same dugout. Former Bromley boss Neil Smith is back as a gaffer, this time for ground sharers Cray Wanderers, as they aim to stay in Step 3. A tough six games to wait, and Smudger can't wait. After a brief break during the pandemic, Non-League Day returns this weekend. Founder James Doe explained why he thinks Non-League is on the rise and what some clubs have in their plans to encourage fans to come along this weekend. Also returning from a pandemic break this week is the England C team. Without direct help from the FA, the National and Trident Leagues have all helped fund the return of the England Non-League team, led by Paul Fairclough once again. The manager has helped light the careers of many over the years and is keen to keep up that record. Rounding off the show, executive editor at the Non-League paper, John Couch, is in the chair. He provides a roundup of the week's news and what we can expect to read in this weekend's paper. There are plenty to come. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. Now, I regularly tell tales of the great people you get to meet from being involved in the non-league game, but it's fair to say that my next guest is probably up there with the best. A great career as a pro player and in non-league, seemingly slipped seamlessly into managing at our level of the game, including taking a team to Wembley for the FA Trophy final. He's had his share of disappointment too, and by the time you read this, it will have been a whole year since his departure from the Bromley managerial role that meant so much to him. But at every turn, he's always been a true gentleman, accessible and honest. And now it's time for the next chapter. It's an honour and a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show new manager at Cray Wanderers, Mr. Neil Smith. Welcome back, Neil.
Thank you so much. I'd like to know that fella. He sounds really good.
Well, I'm lucky enough to know him, actually. And I don't want to pick old scabs, but it was, I think, 25th of March 2021 that all of us were fairly shocked at your sacking after 225 games as gaffer at Bromley. The club was seventh in the league, and it was only on the back of a 3-1 defeat by eventual winner Sutton United. Now, you live close to the ground. You've been manager for over 5 years there. There's various lockdown measures in place as well when all this happens. Even for the glass half full type of guy that you are, that must have been a tough few months.
Yeah, it was. It was still, you know, sometimes when you're losing games and, you know, And you're under pressure, you might go, you know what, I see it coming. I totally didn't see what happened coming. You know, like I said, I think we've gone 2 defeats in 10. We were sitting 7th. My players had literally come back fit. So it was, you know, I was looking really positive going into the last few games of the season that we'd make the playoffs. And then obviously the whirlwind of what happened and, you know, to this day, I still don't understand why, really. But you know, it happened, and you have to crack off.
You do, and you've. It's not as if you've been in the wilderness. I know you've been keeping yourself very busy. I think you've popped up at almost every football ground known to man. And as soon as football came back fully, you've been doing co-commentary, I know, with the BBC. And on the punditry side, you've been on like the National League full-time podcast with Rob and the team. Has that helped you maybe see football with a different perspective as well, coming from the media side of things?
100%. I've loved every minute of it as well, by the way. You know, it was a real eye-opener. You know, you get to find out things about, you know, different clubs that you probably, you know, you're not taking an interest in because your whole world is on the club that you're at and the squad that you've got. You know, I met a lot of chairmen. I've met a lot of owners. You know, I've obviously heard gossips and stuff like that before it's happened. And you know, you're watching a game with just an open eye. You know, there's no other reason to, you know, be watching it. You're not looking at scouting. You're not looking at formations or anything. You've just got an open mind on watching what you're doing. And, you know, it's been a really knowledgeable time. I went, you know, I was lucky enough to go in with a few clubs and watch their training sessions. You know, I've watched from Premiership games all the way down to, you know, Isthmian League just to see what's out there, you know, get a real knowledge of players as well, and you know, if anything happened, you know, you're going in there with a knowledge of that league that you've been watching.
Mm. And what have you learnt about yourself and perhaps the way that you're going to manage going forward as well?
Yeah, no, I'm still going to be the same. You know, I'm a positive guy. I encourage a lot. You know, I do a lot of analysis on the opposition. I like to take the training sessions myself because, you know, it's one of them where if you're asking someone to do it, you know, if you can show them what you can do, it's easier to have a go at them if they don't listen or they've not understood what you were talking about. So I'm a hands-on guy, hands-on manager, and, you know, I don't think I'm going to change in that respect because that's who I am. And I think as soon as someone wants to try and change you, then, you know, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. And you must have had countless offers to get back into a dugout since Bromley. So why now?
Yeah, I have. You know, there's some I've turned down. There's some obviously I haven't got as well for various reasons. And, you know, it was one of them where I was just going, right, you know, I'm going to games. And to be fair, Craig was, it was a very, very late call. I think it was, you know, I've forgotten what days they are already, but I think it was Tuesday night. And I know the owners of Craig really well because during lockdown, you know, when they couldn't go to games, they were coming to watch Bromley. Mm. And likewise, when I got the sack, you know, they were offering me games to go to. And it was, you know, it was really, really kind of them to do it. And, you know, when they asked if I could go in and help for the remaining six games, I thought it was only, you know, what they deserved because they've been so good to me. I've got to know them as quite close friends as well. But, you know, and also they told me about the story and the project that they're trying to achieve down at Cray. It just, it appealed.
Yeah. You mentioned, particularly Gary Hillman and Sam Wright that have been on this show many a time over the years. Two driving forces at the club, and there are many more too as well. But when you see football people like them at the helm with business expertise, long term plans in place, it must give you a bit more confidence that you can go in there and get on with what you want to do best and concentrate on the field stuff.
They've literally said, you know, That's your job. If you're going to come in as the manager for these six games, just do what you know you can do. You know, there's no interfering. There's not going to, you know, they're going to have opinions, and I accept everybody's opinion and I'll listen to them. But basically, they're giving me the, you know, that's your job. You're the manager of the football club. That's what you're good at. That's what you've done well over the last 5 years. Don't change. Go and do exactly the same. But you know, it's a tough ask. You're going in very late. You know, it's obviously deadline day today, and as I say, you're trying to get people in, and you might have come in a little bit late. But you know, that's the rush of being a football manager at this level.
You say a rush, but I guess some of those other clubs that maybe were vying for your attention, you've been linked with a number of clubs. But I sense that you're not the sort of person to rush into the wrong job, whether that's the wrong job for you or wrong job for the club. You know, this is still a good fit.
Absolutely. There's got to be something there that grabs you. You know, as I say, there was a couple that it was just, you know, too far. You know, I've got family commitments as well. You know, unless it's going to be life-changing, you know, and everybody can go, it's going to be a tough ask. So there was a couple I didn't take because of personal reasons, really. And there was a couple that, you know, I was in the frame for a lot of them. For whatever reason, they then choose, you know, where they want to go. So I have to make sure that, you know, it's right for me and it's also right for my family. You know, I think the one thing that came out of COVID was, you know, taking a lot of stock and looking at what's special around you and not taking it for granted. And, you know, I'd never take my family for granted. And, you know, and that's something that's come out of the lockdown. Likewise, I don't take football for granted. It's a privilege to be in football. And I wouldn't take liberties if I went into a club. I want to give them everything I've got and I want to be loyal to that club and I want to make sure that I give everything I've got. And again, so, you know, that comes into my thought process as well, not just going into a club because it's a club.
Yeah, I fully agree. That's important. It's interesting to note, though, I think this is the first club that you would have managed where you haven't been a player. So I guess because you've been local, you've been around it, you understand the culture of the club already going into it.
Yeah, of course. You know, you just speak to Gary and the passion he has for the football club is unbelievable. You know, that he showed me the history of the club. You know, he's literally told me everything about the club, you know, the longest serving club in London. You know, he believes in the history of that club. You know, everybody that's played for the club and managed at the club have got a lot of respect from Gary because it's his club. And, you know, you buy into that because at the end of the day, these clubs are built on the history. And you can't just neglect it, you know, and that's what he's shown me, that there's a passion for the club. It's not just being in football, like I say, you know, you take things for granted. There is a passion for that club, and he just wants to be. And it's not just him, there's three other guys with him who have been outstanding in the couple of days that I've sort of got to meet them and got to know them. And, you know, you can see there's a real passion to be successful at that club.
Yeah, the ground sharing still at the moment with Bromley, and it's a good few years since we spoke with Gary Hillman when planning permission was first granted for Flamingo Park. And I know there have been various issues affecting the build. Have you been given assurances as to when the club might be able to move into their new ground?
No. I don't think Gary's one of them to say, you know, this is a day, because then if it gets put back, everyone's disappointed. You know, they're doing their best to try and get a stadium built, you know, whether it's the end of the season, you know, that's irrelevant. You just see how hard they're trying to get this up and running. You know, and I'd imagine that when there's any news to be said, he'll tell you. But yeah, no, there's no guarantees, there's no assurances of when there might be a stadium. They will be, you know, hopefully ground sharing with Bromley for the foreseeable future. And, you know, and until they move into their new stadium, you know, you have to respect that.
Yeah, and you already mentioned you've got a tough task ahead of you. You know, you've got haven't really got time to get the right players in, I guess, with registration deadline. Are you able to make a couple of signings ahead of the weekend?
Yeah, we've made a couple. You know, it has been hard. You know, unfortunately, the phone calls that you've been having is, I wish you'd told us on Monday. But I didn't even know on Monday this was going to happen. I didn't even know Tuesday morning. I've literally had a phone call from my brother today saying, you didn't say anything when you come around with like a cup of tea and a chat. And I said, honestly, I didn't know. It happened, you know, Tuesday night, really, you know. And since then, it's been Wednesday and Thursday, trained with the boys and met them yesterday. I've got a training session tonight. And then obviously preparing for the game on Saturday. So it's just been non-stop, 100 miles an hour, but, you know, loving every minute.
And it is a slight step down from where you've been operating more recently. Does that mean that you're maybe having to change your expectations of the players?
No, there's some good players there. You know, Anthony Cook, for instance. You know, I've known him. He played for Bromley. Carl Reid, Chris Dixon. You know, I could go through Sam Wood. I could go through so many. But, you know, they've got some good players there, you know. Age-wise, might not be at their peak and stuff like that, but, you know, you've got good, knowledgeable, very good footballers there, good attitude. The fact, you know, they look absolutely unbelievable fitness-wise in what I saw last night. And, you know, they're going to make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, whatever level of football that you play in. So, yeah, I haven't any problems. I'm not looking for anything less than I would do if I was at, you know, any other club in any other division higher than this.
Yeah, and you said you've got six games left. I mean, you've got a tough game this weekend at home to Kingstonian, then a massive game away at Leatherhead the following Saturday. They're just below you in the final automatic relegation spot. But you've also got bottom of the table East Thurrock to play, but then Hornchurch, Enfield Town and Bishop Stortford, the three of the top four. You know, that's like a difficult baptism, shall we say.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. You know, I knew the situation, and, you know, and I have to put out there that Grant Bassey and Gary Alexander have done a fantastic job, and for whatever reason it hasn't carried on. But, you know, they put the club in a situation where they have got a chance of staying up. You know, and I've got to build on what they've done. You know, as I say, they've got some good players there that they've obviously recruited well. I might want to add one or two, but, you know, I believe there's a squad there that should stay up. And, you know, I've got to follow on and make sure I work as hard as them. They're all tough games. You know, you just hope you get that little bit of momentum going after Saturday and obviously try and get a good result going into the massive games that are coming up afterwards. And then, you know, the three of the top four, whatever they are, you know, you've got nothing to lose. You can go there, you try and upset them, but you just hope you're organised and ready for, you know, the baptism of fire that it's going to be.
Yeah, six cup finals still to come. And it's so tight across non-league in almost every division. You know, for you guys, I'm looking at Peter Miller's brilliant promotion and relegation sheet on Google, which he's put together, one of big non-league fan. And whilst Cray aren't currently in the relegation spot, you're third from bottom in the Isthmian Premier. And as it stands, in the four Step 3 divisions, the bottom two of each will be relegated, and one from the third from bottom clubs will also be relegated based on points per game. So there's a one out of four chance that you, if you finish third from bottom, you can get relegated as well. And look at the points per game. It's so tight there as well. It's, you know, every point that you get before now, between now and the end of the season is going to be vital.
100%. You know, it's only when you go into it and, you're speaking to the owners and they're explaining how it's all sorted out that, you know, it is a minefield. So it's one of them. Just get as many points on the board as you can and worry about everything afterwards. You know, start looking at other people's results and their points per game. You just lose yourself. The sole focus is on Cray against Kingstonians. And then we'll worry about the game after that, you know. And that's how we've got to look at it. Otherwise, it will send you nuts. But we've just got to make sure that we get enough points that we're not even in that sort of situation. That's what we're aiming for. But like I said, you know, walk in with six games to go. You know, you can't bring any more players in from literally now. It is what it is. And you just got to make sure you get the best out of them every game.
And that's where a manager really earns his call. Non-league day as well this weekend. So a massive a day to be, returning back to the dugout. So have you had a chance to meet any of the fans? I know you said you've been in and around Cray. Do you know sort of what the general consensus is amongst the fans? Are they willing to get behind the club and keep them
up?
I
think they can see where the club wants to go. Obviously, it's been a difficult season this year for whatever reason. You know, and I'm not looking back. I just, you know, whatever has happened has happened. We've got to look forward. But, you know, by all accounts, they're supportive of the club. They're supportive of, obviously, of the owners, because they can actually see the bigger picture. They can see where it wants to go. And yeah, it's been a difficult season. And you know what? Clubs have that season. We've just got to make sure that we do the best we can this season. And whatever happens next season, you know, you build from then. But, you know, they've been amazing. You know, I think they have got behind Grant and Gary before that, and obviously Ked before that as well. So they're a good, loyal bunch, and hopefully there'll be a little mixture of Bromley supporters coming in if they can't travel to the away game, and get behind some of the old Bromley boys.
Yeah, and so a couple of days really sort of you've been able to settle in or get a feeling for the job. What's the thing you've learnt most? Is it maybe to make sure that your phone's always on charge?
Oh, God, yeah. As I say, for 11 months, you know, it phones every now and again. You're checking to see if it's on. Now you're checking to see if it can it please be off. It has been. And by the way, the good wishes that I've had from a lot of the players that I've managed, a lot of players in the division, managers, coaches, you know, it's been overwhelming, really, how many people have, you know, given me and Cray, you know, good luck wishes and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's back to where it used to be, you know, sitting in the car and just driving, listening to music with the sun out. As they have long gone now, so the phone's going to be constantly ringing. But, you know, as I say, you get used to it as a manager. I'll be going to loads of games again, watching the opposition, watching for new players, which I love doing, you know, and looking for the next bargain out there or the next little gem that you can find, and if it means they go on to higher things, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, well, all those wishes, as I said at the opening there, and all well deserved. I recall a blog that Trevor Nell wrote, a non-league blogger that sort of kept us all entertained over the COVID times. And I think it was either the first time he'd met you in person or something. I think it was at a Cray Wanderers game. And he just went on to say how lovely you were and introducing everybody. You're a great facilitator, a great non-league person, and it's great to have you back involved in the game, Neil. Thanks for joining
us. That's amazing. And on that, I'd like to thank Trevor. Trevor was the first one that sort of gave me the call and went, look, do you fancy going back to Bromley to watch Cray? And that was the first time I walked through the Bromley gates, you know, because it did hurt, and, you know, with what happened. And he's the one that got me there, and he was the first one that said, come on, we'll go to a Cray game. So he was doing a blog on it, and, you know, I can't thank him enough. And he's constantly phoning up, make sure you're all right, if he can help, because he obviously knows the non-league in the lower divisions really well. And, you know, I'd like to thank Trevor as well for, you know, being supportive through especially when it first happened, a tough game, tough time.
Well, with non-league day almost upon us, what a great advert for the non-league family and the great people you get to meet in non-league. Neil Smith, best of luck at Cray Wanderers. We will stay in touch, and thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Definitely. Thank you so much. Thank you. Really appreciate that.
So this week on the show, when is it? Isn't it, I hear you cry? It's all about celebrating the best in non-league. The reason is it's non-league day. Yes, 26th of March 2022 is finally upon us. To find out how all the arrangements are going, it's time to talk once again to another old friend of the show. It's a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to non-league day founder, Mr. James Doe. Welcome back, James.
Thanks, Tim. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on, actually. I mean, firstly, how are you? I saw you picked up COVID, was it last weekend? Are you doing well? Are you going to be fit for non-league day?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I've still got it. I tested again this morning and it still came up with a faint line. So it's, I think, day five or six now. I can't quite remember. But yeah, I got it at the weekend. And yeah, I'm generally okay. A little bit dizzy at times and a little bit of a chesty cough, but yeah, hopefully in a couple of days' time I'll be back up and running.
Well, fingers crossed. I'm guessing your isolation then has also impacted on your running tour of non-league clubs.
Yeah, very much so. Yes, that's taken very much a backseat, unfortunately.
Well, we'll have to. Maybe we can recruit a few more runners to join in with you, or maybe share the burden to make sure that we cover as many clubs as possible.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Now, as we said before, non-league day is all about getting more people understanding the magic of non-league football. But for you, you're a QPR fan, if truth be told, aren't you? So, what is it about non-league that keeps you coming back for more?
Okay. So, yes, to sort of rewind and put a bit of context into that. Yeah, first and foremost, QPR, went to my first game in 1983. But I was always, as a kid, I'd watch anything. Football. I didn't really care. I'd go and see whoever was on. And in the late 80s, I moved to very close to Harrow Borough. And as a teenager, you know, going to QPR became, you know, hard to do. It was too expensive. It was that bit further away. I mean, the reason I moved to where we ended up was because my parents split up. So, you know, getting to games was a lot harder. And Harrow were on my doorstep. Used to save up my dinner money to go along. And, you know, I just became absolutely obsessed with going to watch Harrow home and away until about 18 when I went to university. And then my sort of interest in non-league just sort of began to drift. And yeah, I just sort of lost touch with non-league until I set up non-league day again in 2010 and it all came back to me. So, and again, it's now going more the other way. So QPR is sort of like fading away a bit for me now, and going to watch Harrow again is just far more what I enjoy. I mean, it's just by having QPR on my doorstep, it would cost me and my 9-year-old the best part of 50 quid to go and watch a game. Whereas I can go travel right out into the suburbs to watch Harrow and, you know, for, well, a third of the price for both of us, you know, and it's, you know, she enjoys the experience a lot more. She's not confined to her seat. She gets out and about, has her freedom to go around the ground because I can watch her quite easily from any point in the ground. And we just enjoy the experience a lot more. I actually took her to the game at QPR on Sunday and, you know, and I asked, you know, which do you prefer? She said, oh, Harrow every time. You know, I find it too noisy. The atmosphere is too intense at professional games. And, you know, I remember I took her to a game at Wembley once and she was in tears within seconds of walking in. It was quite sad because it was just too overwhelming for her. Mm. And, you know, going, you know, it's a far more family-friendly environment, I find. You know, each to their own, some people will say differently, but I just find it's far more relaxed. You enjoy it a lot more. It's far more accessible. As I say, it's cheaper. The bread pudding at Harrow Bar is absolutely spectacular in the tea bar. Everyone raves about. And, you know, you can just get as involved as you want in your local non-league club, whether you want to get yourself onto a committee doing something or just casually turning up and watching a game occasionally. You know, it's all about accessibility and just the atmosphere is different. And in my time of life, it's just what I need.
Yeah, I think whether you're 9 or near a 49, like maybe someone that's speaking, those are the exact reasons why non-league is just magic. And it's a different game off the field, but not necessarily on the field, because the quality of non-league football that I think we're watching, yeah, we'll speak to managers later on in the show about the quality of the players, but it's a quality product that we're watching, and it's just more fun to enjoy.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, see the amount of players that are on the pitch there that have either come from an academy at a top club, or are on their way to moving to a top club, or you've got players coming from top clubs towards the end of their careers. I mean, the quality is much better than most people think who haven't been before. I mean, I've taken numerous friends over the years and they just come away saying, oh, I was not expecting that. It was much better than I thought I was going to see. And, you know, at the end of the day, even if you do go to a game and the technical quality might not be there, it's all about the level of competition. If the sides and the game's competitive, that's what I want to see. You know, I don't want to see the best players in the world grinding out a 0-0 draw because they just cancel each other out. I'd rather see a game maybe littered with the odd error that provides, you know, quality entertainment.
Yeah, if we just wanted a perfect pinpoint passes, we could probably play that on the Xbox. I know some people do. Some people enjoy that. Yeah. But that's one of the reasons why I think non-league days have been so successful over the years, is it's granting a little extra access to that magic to people that maybe lots of people I find that they come along maybe for non-league day or you know, maybe re-access their clubs. They've been involved at some level in the past and maybe, you know, like you say, drifted away, and now this gives them an opportunity to get back involved with their local non-league club.
Well, it does, and I think you'll find that things have changed quite a bit. I mean when I went initially in the sort of late 80s, I mean, yeah, there was no such thing as social media. The stand was falling apart, all these sort of things. And the clubs are so much more engaged a lot of the time now in their communities. And, you know, that's the thing, you know, at Harrow, where I'm going, we've got this new outreach officer and he's doing amazing things to just bring in kids and reach out to various parts of the community. And clubs need to do that at non-league level. If they do, they will most certainly succeed. The ones that sort of hold back will find it tough going.
Mm. Plenty of clubs embracing non-league day once again this weekend. Any examples that have maybe grabbed your attention?
Well, there's all sorts of deals. I mean, to be honest, I'd say social media this week, where you'll find all the information, has just been unbelievable. I mean, it's been really, really, really busy, much earlier than it normally is. So I'm expecting some great things on Saturday. But there seems to be quite a few clubs majoring on the fact that it's Mother's Day this weekend. So there's a lot of free Prosecco flowing around for the women in your life. I've seen several clubs doing that, like especially in Kent for some reason. Places like Ramsgate and Chatham. I've also seen a very notable drive for stem cell donors at Cockfosters Football Club. If you turn up there, you get your cheek swabbed and you'll go on a register to become a stem cell donor. Help people with leukemia, which I thought was an amazing thing. There's all the standard deals for, you know, Premier League and EFL season ticket holders. Virtually every club's doing that. But then I noticed, I think it was Windsor, saying if you just turn up in the shirt of the club you support, and I think it's got to be one of the local ones, like one of the West London clubs or Reading, and you'll just get in for free, which I thought was pretty good and a very simple one to organise. Of course, across the three divisions of the National League, there's this big promotion with the lottery this weekend. So you have to read the T's and C's for each club. But I think the broad gist of it is if you have a lottery ticket for this weekend, it's 2-for-1 on adult entry. But again, it's, you know, check the T's and C's for each club because it varies slightly for each one.
Yeah, plenty going on. You mentioned the social media and obviously websites also essential this time of year. Where can people find out more about non-league day via social media and the website?
Okay, so the website is nonleagueday.co.uk, and the central feature of that is our match finder. So if you're still undecided about what to go and see, just put in your postcode and all your local matches will come up. And the main place for social media activity is Twitter, which is Non-League Day UK. We have Facebook and Instagram as well, but they're not quite as busy or active as our Twitter account. So that's where the most action is. But all those links will be on our website as well.
And as a non-league fan, try and encourage as many of your friends, relatives, and even the man down the road you once waved to during COVID times. Get them out. Go and enjoy your local non-league club this weekend. James Doe, founder at Non-League Day, thanks for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show.
Many thanks, Tim.
We spoke to Mick Payne at the end of January when it was announced that the England C team was to return for a new international challenge match against Wales C in March. Well, that date in the diary soon upon us. Wednesday the 30th of March sees England C first game in nearly 3 years. And who better to tell us how preparations are going than the England C manager, an old friend of the show. So welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, to Paul Fairclough. Welcome back, Paul.
Hi, Tim.
Good to have you on, Paul. Now, that last England C game was way back in, June 2019, a defeat to Estonia's under-23s. The pandemic scuppered plans for others. There's been various FA efficiency plans put in place. We're just days away from the return. Are you relieved, excited, or both?
I think that, I'm about non-league football. That's where my roots are. I've experienced the Football League, but my roots are, firmly in non-league football. And I'm just glad to see an England non-league football team back in action.
Yeah, and we're talking Thursday afternoon at the moment. The game isn't until Wednesday evening in Wales, but I guess it's probably the busiest week that you've had for the last few years. What's the timetable for you, your coaches and the players?
Yeah, well, it has been very busy because, this game has been... it's been a difficult game to arrange and difficult game to get off the ground because we've had no funding from the FA at all on this game. None whatsoever. The funding for this game has come from the Step 1, Step 2 and Step 3 clubs who've supported the whole concept of the England C team and the England non-league international team. So it's been quite challenging for the administrators that we've had to put this game together on the budget that they've had. So there's lots of things, and that's affected me in the planning as well. So it's been it's been a case of spinning a lot of plates over the last few weeks. But we're there. We're on the eve of it, so to speak, and we've come a long way. It's been, as you said, 3 years since we've had a taste of international football for non-league footballers, and I'm just so pleased that it's arrived.
And that tale of overcoming barriers and everybody pulling together, it's typical non-league, and it's why we love it. And when we spoke with Mick Payne earlier on in the year, I mentioned the fact that I love the fact that for almost every player who's tasted the England C experience, even those that go on to gain greater, even bigger honours, they're always enthusing about what a great opportunity it was and how important it is in their career.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I've just been, we've just had the caps delivered today to one of our guys who's helping with the administration, and he sent me a photograph of it. And that just sums it up. Seeing this international cap already in wait to be put on the head of those lads after the game, it's just what a thrill it is for them. And I mean, we've got some top players who've taken up this opportunity. Sadly, a few are missing it through injury. But no, it's just a wonderfully proud moment for me. And yes, we've had some fantastic players. And we will continue to have fantastic players who come through the England C team, providing we can get the FA to believe in it the way you believe in it and the way I believe in it and the way our non-league friends believe in it.
And hopefully we can get some of those ex-players as well to help back you in believing it. I guess that you must have some great memories too from the games that you've been involved in and the games that probably you still hope to be involved in going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this game now I see is it's a foot in the door. It's an opportunity for us to get playing again. But if I look back over the years, we've come a long way. The International Challenge Trophy was introduced after the Four Nations Tournament, because the Four Nations Tournament was great. Mm. But by the end of that week, it was more about stamina and endurance. It wasn't about football for me. So that faded out, and we focused on the team being an under-23 team, and we latched on to teams who were playing in the Euro under-21s who wanted sort of warm-up matches, and we sort of enticed them into a proper tournament. And we were playing against top opposition, which is what I want for England's non-league players, to be stretched, to be challenged against these players. I mean, and the players that we've played against over the last 10, 15 years in that trophy are now playing for their national teams in the likes of World Cup and Euros. So, that, I mean, I want us to get back, not necessarily to under-23, but I want to get back to challenging players as much as we possibly can. The Wales game, listen, that's going to be challenging for sure. You know, don't get me wrong, but I want to embrace what's out there for our players and show them the different styles of the different ideas, different concepts that other countries have when they get on the pitch. Mm. So, it's a stepping stone. It's a start. It's been 3 years of disappointment, but we're back.
You are back, and you mentioned there that the under-23 restriction on you've got an open squad without the age restriction this time. I think the first time since 2008. It's great to give the opportunity to a wider range of players, but as a manager, that's probably given you an even bigger headache because of the fantastic talent available to you across non-league.
Oh yeah, I mean it has. I mean, and it's been challenging. You know, because there's players who've been unable to make it through injury, and we've already had we had some serious injuries this week. We've had the boy Ralph from Southend, Brindley in midweek, who I had some other game. He's broken his arm, so we have had players who are unavailable, and I have to make a fair balance. You know, I remember when I was manager of Barnet, I put six players from the Barnet team in the England team. But that was simply because they were the best around at the time. But no, now there's just a plethora of fantastic players for me to choose on. And I've got some really great, experienced players who will be putting on the England shirt.
And it is a great shop window for these players as well. And do you think that the reason that we have plenty of players that have gone up to play in the pro game from non-league, but is it a lack of opportunity that maybe keeps them back in non-league, or is it maybe a self-belief that England C caps may give them?
Look, let's not lose sight of the fact that what non-league football does for players, all these players, they've most of them, I'd say 95% of them, have had some form of rejection on the way, or I'm talking about the younger ones, but they've been brave enough to get back on it and have another go. For every one guy who comes back into the non-league from a pro club, there's nine who walks away from football. So these guys have got something in their DNA in the first instance that suggests that they are going to try again. And that's what the clubs do that. The clubs bring out a lot in those players. A lot of the hard work is done by the clubs and the coaches and the managers, of which we've got some great coaches and managers in non-league football right the way down. But the England C team, it gives them that rubber stamp without any shadow of a doubt. You know, people like Kiefer Moore, even though he'd probably be starting for Wales, was with England C. Ethan Pinnock, who's playing in the Premiership now. Andy Iden, who was in the African Nations Cup with Ghana. I could just reel off a team who are playing in the Championship and Premiership now. And England C has definitely 100% been part of that. And how we are not part of the FA DNA, I will never know. Someone needs to tell me.
Well, I we'll do all we can to make sure that we continue the lobby on that front. The game in the diary, March the 30th at 7 p.m. kickoff at Caernarfon Town, coming straight after Saturday's non-league day as well. Hopefully, as many non-league fans as possible can get along and support the side, but also hopefully that can help raise the profile that England are playing midweek, as well as this friendly that the upper echelons of England are playing on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, all the squad, we've got it penciled in our itinerary. We'll be watching the first team against Ivory Coast on the box. You know, we'll tune into that. We'll have all the chairs laid out. The lads can come in and watch that. We'll have a good crack. So it's nice that we're playing straight after that. And yeah, we're gonna enjoy the occasion. As I say, it's just really good to be back.
And it's good to have you back as well, Paul. Good luck on Wednesday. England C against Wales C down at Caernarfon Town Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. kickoff, March the 30th. Paul Fairclough, thanks for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show.
Tim, it's a real pleasure.
Right, let's round off this week's news and time to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. So welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Executive editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Thank you very much. Nice to be on again.
Well, it's nice to get you back on. The sun's shining. It's Non-League Day weekend. It's, you know,
yeah.
It's a great week for Non-League. I mean, well, it's a great week for Non-League in most cases. Let's start with that managerial merry-go-round. A good week for Neil Smith. We spoke to him earlier, back in the dugout at Cray Wanderers, and he's sounding very excited about a very tough six games between now and the end of the season at the bottom of the Isthmian Premier.
He's very excited, yeah. I spoke to Neil earlier. He was in really good spirits. He was talking about his old days at Bromley and how it would be a little bit strange going back to the Hayes Lane dugout, albeit with their tenants, Cray. Not fazed at all by the drop down. As he said himself, he's no football snob, so he's looking forward to the challenge. He hasn't managed at that level before, but he's got a tough challenge on his hands. He's got six games to try and save Cray Wanderers from down, which is a bit of a surprise because they had a good season, a couple of seasons, albeit in the truncated COVID seasons. But he's got a big task in his hands, but he's very much looking forward to it. He's put out the game for a good year now. He's been watching a lot of football with doing media stuff, and he's just itching to get back. And I think once Cray Wanderers come round, it's right on his doorstep. So as he said to me, it was a no-brainer. Really, yeah. It was the right job at the right time and the right club. So yeah, he's itching to get back.
And it's good for non-league as well to have him back in the fold as well. Because I did introduce him as one of the real nice guys within non-league.
Yeah, he is. He's a real cheeky chap. Typical Londoner is Neil. It is good to see him back. His days at Bromley, in my opinion, were prematurely ended. I was surprised he didn't get back in as soon as. Then the Woking job became available, and I thought that was the perfect fit. And he did allude to the fact that he'd been invited down by Alan Dowson to a couple of games, but obviously felt he didn't want to be a vulture. Turn of phrase. He's obviously a man with integrity, and he just said it was a case of finding the right job at the right time, and he found it in Cray. But I think, as you say, it's good for non-league that he's found somewhere, because I still think even at 50 years old, he's still in the bracket of a good up-and-coming young manager.
Indeed. And since we last came out with a podcast, we've seen Tim Flowers depart from Stratford Town. Didn't work out for either party as planned there, and I'm sure there's a few fans that probably ruined the decision to replace Paul Davis back in the autumn after his very successful 3 years there.
Yeah, strange one, that one. I didn't quite get his reasoning with that. I've met Tim on a few times, and he always comes across as a a very honest fella, and I think his decision has come from the heart. He just feels that the club needs something more full time to build on, and to base a future on. He's basically they're not going up, they're not going down this year, so they've got a few weeks now to try and pre-plan for next year. For some reason, he didn't feel as though he was going to be part of those plans, which is a bit surprising, because you know things haven't really gone his way over the last, well, since leaving Solihull Moors, really. But he's a nice guy, football, a real good football man, and I'm sure he'll be back. I'm sure he'll be back soon.
It's interesting what you say about the, you know, the club needing to adjust the full time bit. AFC Totten in the Southern South have appointed Jimmy Ball as they push for promotion. And interesting to see that he's been given a full time role there for overseeing all the football operations. And there are more and more clubs that are seeing the need to invest off the field as well as on it.
Yeah, it does appear that way. Yeah, I mean, a club set. Step three and step four are going down the full-time route, albeit sort of with managers or coaches sort of starting in the academies and working up. AFC Totten are certainly an ambitious team. They've got hopes for the future, and Jimmy Ball is certainly someone who can give them that. I mean, he's a big name, obviously the son of Alan Ball as well. So he's someone. He's someone with a pedigree, and someone that they can have at the top of the hierarchy and work down from. They're a Hampshire club. I'm a Hampshire guy, so I've got a little bit of a soft spot for AFC Totten. I hope they do go up. And I think Jimmy Ball could just be the man to help them do that. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, and it's always difficult to find that right man, isn't it? You know, they've had a series of managers. I mean, elsewhere, Whitstable Town, old friend of the show, Keith McMahon, replaced by Andy Drury as another manager comes in as they try and survive relegation in the Isthmian South East Division. But one man who isn't stepping on the merry-go-round this week is Dover Athletic manager Andy Hettentyler. He's pledged to stay with the Kent outfit. Who had their relegation, not surprisingly, confirmed this week from the National League.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I had a conversation this week with a Dover fan, and I think my words were that Dover are lucky to have Andy Hettentyler. He's had two horrible years, hasn't he? You know, when you think about it, I think culminating in two or three wins maximum. It can't have been easy for Andy on a very small budget compared to some of the rivals. He's tried to sort of scrimp and save and beg, borrow and steal to try and get a squad of players in. It hasn't worked out for him. The deduction at the start of the season was always going to prove, I think, just a little bit too much for him. And so it's proved, but still, Andy stayed loyal, and I think with him in charge and a whole new fresh start next year in National League South, I think Dover could be a threat again. They can certainly challenge, because they've got that pedigree, they've got the fan base to do it, and Andy Hettentyler, they've got someone who clearly, genuinely, really cares for the club.
Yeah, and as you say there, they will be a threat in National South next year, and it's certainly a division I keep an eye on, obviously, for obvious reasons with my own club. And it is, we've spoken this year in particular about the strength of National North, and you're now looking at what, you know, National South may look like next year, and you can see that there's a similar strength there, and before the start of the season, I'm not sure anybody would be able to call who might be the ones going for promotion, who might be the ones in the relegation battle.
No, that's right. I mean, you only have to look at Banbury. Banbury United were 20 points clear at the top of Southern Premier. I mean, the only question mark about Banbury is whether they're going to be in the North or the South, because obviously they're right on the right on the border there. I suppose they could technically be in either, but I mean they're clearly a very very good team. I know your team Hayes and Yedding, they have obviously pieced together a good side, as have a team that I'm close to, Farnborough. I think that's gonna that title race is gonna go right to the wire. But whoever goes up from that is gonna be a threat in the south, and in the northern premier as well. That's setting up itself quite nicely as well. So yeah, I think it's gonna be I think it's been an excellent final month or 6 weeks of the season, and either way, these just keep getting stronger and stronger, don't they?
They do. I mean, it's great for non-league, you know, particularly when we're going in to celebrate non-league day. Yeah, and obviously success is a big thing. We also, having had the restructure as well, there was a lot of debate as to whether the lower reaches of the pyramid, as we looked, would be weakened. Certainly in the middle there, you know, we had a lot of Step 5 clubs that were promoted. But there's still lots of strength there. Down in Step 5 this week, we saw Hanworth Villa crowned champions and promoted from the Combined Counties Premier North. And hopefully we're going to cover that more next week. But they're still the highest placed unbeaten side in the pyramid. They've got a whopping 2.8 points per game this season. That's quite amazing.
Yeah, I spoke to their manager, Simon Howney, earlier on. He's a great guy. I spoke to him before, and we had a long chat, and we were talking about their season, and their numbers are incredible this year. I think they've only conceded 13 goals all season, and 8 of them were in 3 games. They've won 20 games on the trot, dropped just six points all year. Incredible stats, incredible numbers. They got 4 games to go, and he said, "Well, yeah, we celebrated the title, and you know, but we were straight back into it, and we've got 4 big games to go, because the third rung of their 3 point stepping plan was to go unbeaten, and wouldn't that be a fantastic season? But we've also seen the likes of West Didsbury and Chorlton win their league this week from Step 6. Obviously, we had Macclesfield before, and a great performance as well from Bracknell Town, just moving up into Step 4. What a season they've had under Bobby Wilkinson. But there's certainly some Step 5 teams, as we've seen in the Vars this year, who have shown that I think they can mix it with the best of them.
Yeah, and it must be great as a manager to be able to wrap the season up at this point of the season, and sort of, you know that you've not got to get a sweat on too much about, you know, players and availability and things like that. But looking across the other leagues, in most divisions, it's still close to call. Perhaps the National League, after some telling results this week, is different. Stockport County at the top with a 10-point lead, but a massive goal difference lead too. But I still look, you know, still got the 2 games in hand. A game in hand for Halifax Town. It's still too early to call the top of the National League, and it's still very tight for those playoff spots as well.
Yeah, I mean they look pretty imperious, don't they? I mean they've hit form at just the right time. I think they've won nine out of ten. I think they're now, or something like that. They've just announced today that they brought in Courtney Duffus from Morecambe, and the lad Cannon on loan from Hull. So they've strengthened even further today with two top quality Football League performers. So that just adds to their strength even more. I just can't see them dropping 10 points, to be honest. I think they would be worthy champions. But as you say, the likes of Halifax have got 2 games in hand. They could make things interesting. I think they've got a couple of really big games coming up. I know they've got Chesterfield coming up soon. That'll be an interesting one. And but they've done amazing under Pete Wild. You know, I keep writing them off, and I keep getting proved wrong by FC Halifax. So, yeah, I think they're going to be they're going to be there or thereabouts, and they're certainly going to be a team that no one's going to want to play, in the playoffs. But it's touching up quite nicely because Notts County is starting to put a run together. Probably sadly lost their way a little bit. I kind of hope that they can pick themselves up for the last month. Bournemouth as well. Bournemouth, it looks like might have taken their toll on them a little bit, so they need to find something else. But Grimsby is starting to come back into it as well. It is really hotting up, I think, for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've got big games this weekend. Notts County, Chesterfield, and maybe the one that can change the look of the playoffs more than any is Grimsby Town and Dagenham and Redbridge. There's so many big clubs just fighting for that final spot in the playoffs, really.
Yeah, they've sort of come from nowhere, haven't they, Grimsby? They had a great start and then fell away, and people sort of, they just went off people's radar and they sort of slipped into mid-table. And then they've just sort of come up over the last sort of couple of months. They always get good crowds up there at London Park. They're a very well-supported team. And they've got good strength and depth as well in their squad. And you couldn't write them off. They've got that they're going to be a big club when it comes to the mix. And again, they're going to be another one of those teams that if they did sneak in there, you're not really going to want to play them because they're going to be hitting form at just the right time. And they've got some seasoned performers in that team, and they've got a manager who's got them up before in Paul Hurst. So they're going to be a threat. And but Dagenham as well. Dagenham aren't far away, and I know he's got a good side together. Darren McMahon, and again, they're a little bit up and down these last few weeks, but certainly won't be writing them off just yet either.
Yeah, the playoffs, it looks like they're going to go right to the wire and keep us all on our toes again. Plenty going on. I mean, it's non-league day weekend, and you've already intimated that some of the interviews you've already done this week. Well, anything else we can expect to read in this weekend's non-league paper?
Yeah, we've got plenty of non-league day stuff. We've got some pictures at various grounds. We're hoping for a really big bumper afternoon. The sun's come out just in time for non-league day. So hopefully with the Premier and the Championship teams not in action, we can get some big crowds at non-league grounds. So yeah, we'll be covering that. We've also got England C. My colleague Matt Padcock has been busy talking to a lot of England C legends, now playing in the Football League, about what it's like to have England C back. Obviously, that's a preview for their game against Wales next week, which Matt's got to do a 400-mile cross. Country trek to up to Caernarfon to go and see.
So are you going to tell him, or shall I, that the weather's supposed to get a little bit worse next week?
Oh dear, I would want to. He's dreading it at the best of times anyway. He's not looking forward to the trip. But I hope the weather steers clear for him. I had experience of bad weather going up to Everton a couple of weeks ago to Wormwood Bournemouth, and dear me, it was. It was a bit harrowing at times, but we got plenty coming up there. Hamworth, we got bars and trophy previews. Mm-hmm. We got obviously the semi-finals of those are next week as well. So we're looking at all eight clubs involved, and talking to respective people there as they're only one step from Wembley, and four matches they are promised to be, don't they? The two semi-finals, they're going to be very evenly contested, and very much looking forward to that.
And I'm very much looking forward to reading the non-league paper at the weekend. John Couch, thank you once again for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
No problem at all. Thank you very much.
And that's it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests as ever, and thank you to everybody for listening. Before I go, I must mention Martin Ryman, a manager at South Liverpool FC in the North West Counties League. Last week, was his 750th match in charge of the club. In a time when managers notching a tenth of just that are seen as long-serving. If that wasn't enough, though, he also made 184 appearances as a player before becoming manager and came up through the junior teams at the club as well, including, I believe, collecting the Under-11s Player of the Year Award in 1980-81 season. If ever there was a need for recognition of a true clubman, surely his 40 years with his club is one worthy of a hat tip. Congratulations to him, and indeed to South Liverpool for, well, showing loyalty in the modern era, and also clearly being the sort of place you never want to leave. Not yet made a trip to South Liverpool FC, but it's certainly a tempting one if it's that appealing for Martin Ryman, a manager up there. Congratulations on 750 matches in charge. Of course, if you've enjoyed our celebration of non-league, then please do ensure you celebrate non-league day this weekend. Take along a friend or someone new, put a little extra in the bucket or behind the bar. And as Robbie Savage told us last week, enjoy your local non-league club. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom on Apple Podcasts. Also on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you and goodbye.
J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.